إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the reason why He created us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, we have not created the human beings and the jinn for any purpose other than our ibadah. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except for our ibadah. The Mufassirin say illa liyabudun also means illa liyarifun, which means except to recognize me, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question I ask myself and I think is, for example, if you go to a store and you buy chocolates, what will be delivered to you at the checkout counter? Chocolates or rice? Chocolates, right? If you go to the store and you buy rice, what will be delivered to you at the checkout counter? Rice, not chocolates. Now you might, while buying the rice, while collecting the rice, you might say, oh, I wish I had chocolates. So you have to go and buy the chocolates. You can't say, oh, why don't you also give me some chocolates? You get what you buy. Now, this is the rule in life. You get whatever you are buying. You don't get something that you have not bought. Similarly, to give you another example, if somebody is interested in studying and reading and so on, and this person is spending all his time doing that, reading books, that person will become very knowledgeable as far as the books are concerned, but will that person automatically also have a six-pack and will he have a 56-inch chest or something, no? He won't have that. Why? Because he is not working on that. He is working on something else. And vice versa. Somebody who is working out 8 hours in the gym is not going to become very knowledgeable. He will have a good body. The reason I am saying this is because what drives all this? What is it that ensures that when you go to the store that you are coming out with rice or with chocolates? What drives it is your own desire. You went to the store for a reason. Right? So you went, whatever reason was, you fulfilled that. You went to the gym for a reason. You went to the library for a reason. Question I ask myself is, we have this term bucket list. Bucket list is supposed to be that list of things that you want to do sometime before you die. It's not a list of priorities. The bucket list is not a priority list. It's one of those things. Somebody said, have you ever been to New Zealand? It's in my bucket list. Meaning that it's not something that, it's not a priority list. It's not as if, oh, I'm now, worrying about this. I'm losing sleep over it. Why have I not been to New Zealand? Yeah, it's a nice place. I would like to go there. It is in my bucket list. Someday I will do it. So you are not saying, no New Zealand, anywhere in the world but New Zealand, I refuse to go. You are not saying that. You are saying, yeah, it's a good place, I would like to go, and it's there in my bucket list. But somebody says, have you done Hajj? And if you are able to do Hajj and you have not done Hajj, then that can't be in your bucket list. That has to be on your priority list. And you say, no, I am now eligible to do Hajj, and I absolutely have to do Hajj, and this is on my priority list number one, inshallah, next year, this year Hajj time is over, next year I am going to go for Hajj and I am making all preparations. So there is a difference between your priority list and your bucket list. I am not talking about priority, I am talking about bucket list. I am saying, supposing, seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I created you for no purpose other than to know me, other than to have ta'alluq with me, other than to get close to me, other than to do my ibadah. Allah is saying, this is the purpose for which you have been created. No other purpose. This one. My question to myself is, and I request you to ask it to yourself also, and seriously do it. Don't just, it's not a formality and you don't have to tell me. It's for yourself. Getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it even in our bucket list? I'm not even talking about priority. Is it even in the bucket list? Someday before I die, I would like to know Allah. Is it there? or is it something which is not even in the bucket list? Now, point is, if you say it is not there, okay, then one can say, all right, you know what to do, right? So, get it at least into the bucket list and start working on it. But supposing you say it is there, then the question is, what is the proof? What is the dalil? What is the proof to yourself to say that this is on my bucket list? What tells me? What is the evidence? Because without the evidence, then it's only that word has no etabar ki cheez nahi hai. You just said something. It has no value. So if it is even in the bucket list, first and foremost question is it even there? Is it a matter of concern for me? And if it is a matter of concern, and it should be a matter of concern, then we have to ask the question and say, well then, what is the proof that this is a matter of concern and therefore, what am I doing about it? What am I doing about it? Do I have some plan? What is the plan that I am doing about it? So, let us, I want to try and between today and a day or two, go take this forward and say that, assuming that this is on the bucket list and you want to get it out of that onto a list of priorities, because the problem is saying, someday before I die, the problem with that whole statement is that we don't know when we die. So, a bucket list is, to me, it's a waste of time. I have nothing in my bucket list. I don't have a bucket. My bucket is in the bathroom, right? I don't put lists in it. What I have on my list are things that I intend to do and I am engaged in doing them. I don't just dump it somewhere and, you know, leave it there. Because if you say before I die, when you don't know when you are going to die, what is the sense of saying before I die? So, if we have a list and we say that this is on my list, then getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the number one thing on our list. For no other reason, if for no other reason, then at least because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the reason I created you. Even if it is not love of Allah and so on, which is how it should be. But I'm saying even if we haven't got there until now, at least this should be the number one thing because Allah created us for this purpose and He told us. So what is to be done if we want to get there? Now, one of the ways in which shaitan deceives is by creating mystery where there is no mystery. For example, you would have heard this term to say, we don't know which action will please Allah. You would have heard this many times. कौन सी बात अल्लाह को पसंद आ जाती है हमको मालूम नहीं. मैं बोलता हूँ अगर ऐसी बात रहती तो नबी को भेजने की जरूरत नहीं थी, किताब की जरूरत नहीं थी. देर वॉज नो नीड टू सेंड द नबी एंड देर वॉज नो नीड फॉर द किताब ऑफ अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला. इफ एवरीथिंग वॉज अ मिस्ट्री, एवरीथिंग इज नॉट अ मिस्ट्री. वी नो एग्जैक्टली विदाउट एनी डाउट, वी नो एग्जैक्टली वॉट प्लीज अल्लाह एंड वी नो एग्जैक्टली वॉट डज नॉट प्लीज अल्लाह. सो फॉर समबडी टू से ओ बट यू नो वी डोंट नो विच एक्शन प्लीज अल्लाह, नो. You can say that about an individual and you can say, I don't know which action of Hafiz Bhai pleases Allah is okay. Because that, what am I saying? I'm saying I don't know him and I don't know his timetable and I don't know all the things that he does well enough to say that I know that every action of his, I don't know that. So therefore, what I'm saying is that maybe he is doing something, inshallah, which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I don't know. That's a different issue. But making a statement about actions, which people say, we don't know which action pleases Allah, this is nonsense. This is complete nonsense. We know exactly what pleases Allah and we know exactly what does not please Allah. So we should, this is from shaitan. The shaitan creates this needless mystery. So therefore, what is the result when we say, I don't know which action pleases Allah? Okay. So what are you doing? You're doing nothing. Now, does nothing please Allah? No. Despite that, shaitan puts you into this limbo. Where you are doing nothing. Oh, but you see, I don't know which place. So, these are all from shaitan. So, we need to forget all this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to clearly tell us what pleases Him and what does not please Him. This came to us in two ways. One is through the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the second one is through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us what pleases Allah and what does not please Allah. So, what is it that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is it that does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The number one thing which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is His worship. Because Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created you for anything other than for worshipping me. Right? So the primary purpose of our creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like in everything else, if the primary purpose is fulfilled, you are satisfied. Alhamdulillah, this thing is working. So what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. What displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Biggest zulm, biggest mistake, biggest calamity, biggest crime is to join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the doubt in this? There is no doubt. It's absolutely clear. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is number one thing to do. And not making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not introducing things into the deen which are not there, no bidat, no custom, no practice, no nothing. Do what you have been told. Stay on tawheed. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Don't join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opposite of that, which is shirk, does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the best form of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which pleases Him the most, that is the salah. That is salah, right? So this is the best. There are many other forms of worship. There is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is charity, there is this, that, fasting and so on and so on. But the number one thing which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most are the five fard salawat. These five fard salawat one must do because this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. In addition to that, with tawfiqillahi ta'ala, the nawafil, tahajjud and so on and so on. Now please notice I have not mentioned the sunnah because the sunnah is part of the fard. Please understand this. Many people are under this vague impression that, you know, the sunnah is something which we feel like praying, we pray. You don't feel like praying, we don't pray. No. Sunnah is part of fard. If you deliberately leave a sunnah salah, you are committing a major sin. It is one of the kabair. It's a major sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you deliberately leave a sunnah. The sunnah of fard, of fajr is to the level of wajib. It is something which Rasulullah did not leave even in even while traveling. Other sunnah of the other salawat he did not do while he was traveling. If he was praying qasr, he didn't pray the sunnah. But the sunnah of fajr, he prayed. So absolutely there is no doubt about it. The sunnah of fajr is like the fard of fajr. It has to be prayed. The other sunnah the of Zohar, Asar, Maghrib, Isha, not Asar but Zohar, Maghrib and Isha, these are absolutely important. The only difference is they are not at the level of fard. That doesn't matter. We are not here to sit in judgment on that. As far as we are concerned, should you pray it? Yes, absolutely you have to pray it. There is no doubt about this. You pray it in the masjid or you pray it at home or in your office, wherever. But do not leave that sunnah salah thinking that this is optional. You know, if I feel like praying, I will pray. No, there is no feel like praying. You have to pray. That is part of the salah. If somebody says, how many rakat in Zohar? What will you tell him? Four rakat of sunnah, four rakat of fard, two rakat of sunnah. This is the and if you are doing the, you know, the other madhab, you say two rakat of sunnah and so on. But the point is that there is no, if somebody says, how many rakat of fajr? Two rakat of sunnah, two fajr. So the sunnah mu'akkada, which Rasulullah ﷺ never left, these are very much a part of that particular fard salah and they must not be left. Right? There is no qada for sunnah, but the aima have said that no matter what happens, until the time of that salah is there, sometime during that time of the salah, you must pray the sunnah. If you haven't prayed it immediately, before or after, as the case might be, it must be prayed. So for example, if you miss the four rakat of sunnah or the two rakat of sunnah before the fard of zuhr, then after the fard of zuhr, you must pray that. It's not as if, oh, that I missed now is, you know, discount. No. After the fard, you pray that sunnah. Salat sunnah of fajr, if you didn't pray before the fard, then you pray it immediately after the fard. The point is you should pray it before the, I mean, why even get into this whole issue of after? When it's supposed to be before, you pray it before, not after. So very, very important as far as sunnah is concerned. But the first salawat and the associated sunnah, this is the thing which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. And then in addition to that, the salah which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most is the salah in the night, which is tahajjud. Last third of the night, wake up in sometime before, half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour before the time for fajr starts, and then pray tahajjud. That is to be prayed two rakat at a time,
And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to pray 8 rakat, you can pray 2, 4, 6, whatever you like. This is the salah which pleases Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala the most and with which we connect to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Inshallah, Biznillahi Ta'ala, tomorrow we'll talk about other things, but today, as far as the getting close to Allah is concerned, number one, bring that as your priority list, and second one is, in that, Tawheed, as far as Allah is concerned, no shirk, and second one is the importance of Salah, especially the Fard Salah and the Sunnah associated with the Fard Salah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.